It's our privilege today to have Pastor Philip Dinka. And how do I know him? Well, a couple of years ago, maybe even 4 or 5 years ago, I attended a pastor's fellowship that was held in Queens. And Pastor Dan Klaus of the Calvary Life Baptist Church, he introduced Brother Dinka to speak, and he preached on the book of Romans, and I was blessed by his exposition of the scripture, and I found my notes from that the other day. Yes, I took notes when you preached. And then this past February at the Ridgewood Baptist Church, the church that he pastored, and Pastor Klaus's church, Calvary Life Baptist, it used to be Calvary Bible, where Pastor Coleman was. Some of you remember Pastor Coleman. The churches have merged, and Calvary is now at Ridgewood, and they have the building there. And Pastor Klaus asked Pastor Dinka to share his testimony. And I was encouraged by that and blessed by that. And so I got his card then, and I thought this would be great to have him with us on Mission Day. He grew up in Romania, and he will share his story with you in this hour and in the next hour preaching. I think you will be blessed today. So let's have prayer, and we'll turn the time over to Pastor Philip Dinka. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your work around the world. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your goodness. And Lord, I just pray that you will bless this day, that it will be an encouragement to all of our hearts. I pray you will use and bless Pastor Dinka as he shares his testimony, as he shares the word of God. I pray we'll have listening ears and that our hearts will be blessed and that Jesus will be glorified. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, brother. It's great to have you here. The time is yours.
Okay. Good morning. It's good to see you. And the most important thing it is that in the midst of us, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that wherever there are two or three, he's there. I was never affected by the number of the people. I used to preach to 2 people, and I used to preach to 5,000-6,000 people. For me, it is only one subject. It is this book is saying, and the whole book, it is concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in everything, in the middle of everything, it is Christ and Christ alone. Let me tell you a few words about myself. As I said, I am Philip Dinka. I lived in Romania 33 years, and then we came in the States. I was the black sheep of the house. We were 6 brothers and 2 sisters in the family, and I was the only one that I didn't knew the Lord for a good period of time. And frankly, I didn't want it to know him. My father, it was known pretty much all over the country, but I was somehow, let's say, a bad guy. I didn't do so many difficult things, but I was not a Christian. And after the service over there is different than here, they were a church, was called Christian After the Gospel, something similar with Methodist here, based on the teaching of Wesley. So after the service, many people came to our house always, every Sunday, to talk, to have fellowship, and to eat. And that happens almost every Sunday. And when they come, they see you, oh, you are Brother Dinka's son. One day they ask me, how are you saved? And I said, well, I'm not saved. And they said, how come? Well, this is it, I'm not saved. I was going well in the school at that time, and there were some people that were very much educated people, and some other people that got 4 grades. They hardly write their name on the paper. And at that time, a guest speaker, it was one of those guys. He hardly was writing his name on the paper. He got 6 children. And among them, it was another two or three that were professors, and one of them were my professor. And he said, I didn't know that you are Brother Dinka's son. And I said, well, you know now. He said, how come that you are not a Christian? And I looked at him and I said, you can make me a Christian now if you will explain me something. And he just said, what can I say? Tell me how the Red Sea stood like a wall and the Jewish people went through on the dry land and the whole army of Pharaoh was gone. I told him, you are a physics professor and you told us that the water always fill the empty space, and that it was the level from which they measured the heights of the mountain and so on. And he thought a little bit and he said, I don't know, but I believe that the water stood like that. And I looked at him and I said, well, thank you. You are very honest, as usually you are, but it doesn't work with me. And the countryman that was the guest speaker at that time, he said, did you read the Bible? And I said, no, I didn't read it. I grew up in a Christian family. I knew a lot from the Bible, but I didn't read it. He said, do you know something I want to tell you, something that it may hurt you? Shame on you, he said. When I heard that, nobody told me before. And I look at him and said, don't look at me. Shame on you. You talk against a book that you never read it. And I said, the man is right. His logic is good. And I asked him, when do you come back here? And he said, I plan to come back in 2 weeks. I told him, I cannot promise you that I will read the Bible in 2 weeks, but I will read the New Testament. And I read the New Testament. And he came back. He came back, and I went to the church at that time. Usually I was not going. I went there, and I heard him preaching. And he preached from the book of Ecclesiastes, a verse, young man, you like to live in the world? Live it. You like to dance? Dance it. You want to drink? Drink. You want to do that? Do it. That's the first portion of the verse. And I said, what a beautiful book is the Bible. You can do whatever you want to do. And then after about half an hour of bombarding everybody with that, he said, I want to tell you something. The verse that I read is not finished. And they said, but you have to know that after these things, you will give an account to God. God will judge you. I said, why do you say that? We don't like judgment. And that remained in my mind. How that comes? How that comes? How did he explain that? He said, you go in the city, and I was there for school. And he said, the night comes on. You don't have anyone to go, and you will go to the hotel. They will give you a room. You go inside, you sleep, you take a shower, and so on, and then you come out in the morning. And when you come out, you say, good morning, thank you very much. It was good for me, and I go. And the lady there will tell you, don't go. You have to pay something. And I said, how that it is? I knew. He said, you live in God's hotel. It is called earth. And I said, he's right. You breathe God's air. You drink the water that God left it. You do that, that, and everything else is from God. Don't you think that is normal for you to be judged? And I said, it's right. It's normal. That it was. So that was in my mind. He continued to preach, and I don't know, in about 15 minutes, he was in the book of Acts. And usually I don't preach that way. He was reading in the book of Acts about Philip and the Ethiopian, what I heard it was just, is he a Philip? It was my name. And I said, yeah, my name is Philip. He said, come here. What do you call me here? I went in front and he said, in your knees. I was on my knees. He prayed. And what I saw there, that was everybody in the church was weeping, crying. I asked myself, why do they cry? I did not understand that. I don't even understand why I was on my knees. So after that, I stood up, and they congratulated me, and I didn't felt anything, but I was thinking about it, and I promised to myself I will read the New Testament again and again. And that it was. I went to the school, and I lived more or less the same kind of life. The same kind of life. And I heard another sermon from him another time. And he was preaching very well. And he was a countryman, not educated, but was the best preacher that I heard. I heard it. And the time passed on. I finished my school. I was working. I married my wife. She's not here, and she's a good woman. We just celebrated about a year and a half ago, 50 years of marriage. And together we have 6 children, 18 grandchildren. And we praise the Lord for all of those things. So everything was fine. Being there, I worked in a sensitive area in the country, and you couldn't do the things that you wanted, but that it was. I wanted to leave that. It was something in my heart that wouldn't give me peace. My wife was a Christian woman. I was, you know, wishy-washy. So that being the case, I decided to go to the seminary. I was to a church. I heard the, and I said, I don't know this book. I want to learn more about it. So I read it, but you don't understand everything, and I don't understand everything even today. But I understood enough to understand that if I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am lost. If I believe in him, then I will be one of his. And I went along with that. Everything was fine. I went to the seminary. I got problems at workplace. I live in a communist country. I pray every day that America will not go on that road. Over there, you have no rights. If I was going with my wife to a restaurant to eat a cake or to eat a dinner, which was very rarely because the people don't eat at the restaurant there, and the table was with 4 seats, you cannot have 4 people at the table. You have to be only 3, and the 4th one, it was like a secret agent here. We were Christian, and due to the workplace where I was, they were afraid that the people will come and will hear something from us and so on. That being the case, I said, it's not for me to stay. I couldn't go like that. I wanted to leave. You cannot leave. Over there, it's a difficult life. So I said, what shall I do? My direct boss, it was the son of the president of the country. Very friendly, very smart, very good guy. He was the black sheep of the house there too. He has nothing to do with the communism, with the Communist Party and so on. But he was a smart guy. He was good. So I talked with him one day and I said, listen, I want to leave. He said, I cannot help you with that. Yeah, but you know your father. Oh, you don't even think about it. So he said, you have to stay 5 years here. In 5 years, it is a law. There is no more secret. If any other country in the world will not do what you do, then that's it. It's ours. You can go. It's patented. You can go. So I was there for 5 more years. After that, I came out, and I wanted to go to the seminary. It didn't work. I tried. They said, no, you cannot go. And I decided to go without telling them. And I didn't tell them. One day it was an exam. You go to an exam and you go to the seminary. They examined me and they accepted me and everything was fine. And I went to the seminary. Over there I thought I am with the people of God. Everything was going bad. And after 2 years they threw me out. He said, no, you cannot be here. I said, why? He said, if you got this kind of ideas, you should go in America. And I said, I don't go in America. I am a Romanian guy. I was against all of those that left the country for America. They said, no, here you cannot be. They threw me out. I went home. My wife expected me to go. I went home and found no job. No whatsoever. Wherever I go, they said, you are overqualified. Overqualified. They wouldn't hire you. And it was a law. If you don't work, they will put you in jail. You have to have a proof that you went, you looked for the job, and the job didn't accept you. I did that for 2 years. It was a very, very hard time. So I found finally a job. They didn't know me to a pretty small factory, but has nothing to do with what I used to do. But, you know, we got four children at that time. We have to give them food. So I went there. Everything went out pretty well till a certain period of time. And I went to the seminary. I came back, as I told you. They fired me from there. I didn't know what to do. But the church from where I left the job for the seminary, they put me to preach pretty often. And God used me. Almost every Sunday we got conversions. And in about a period of a year, the church was almost full to the capacity. 250, 300 people that were coming. Everything was fine. And then I began to be invited in the country to preach. That you couldn't go too far because the security will not let you to go. So everything was fine till a certain point. One night in our church in Ploiești where I preached, it was winter, it was cold. Somebody came to me and he said, maybe tomorrow after the church, you want to go with us to a funeral. And I said, a funeral? Yeah, to a funeral. Okay, we go after the church. We went to the church and everything was fine. And after that, let's go to the funeral. Who died? They said, we don't know, but over there the people goes. When it's a problem of funeral, it's... So we went there. I told my wife, I go to a funeral, is that, it's, I didn't know who is there, everything was fine. We went there and it was very cold, snowing, it was horrible. So there was a fight. They were a Christian after the gospel, the church where I grew up and I didn't know God. And there were Baptists and there were Pentecostals. And their heads were somehow fighting, who will preach at the funeral? I was there and I waited a little bit and nobody was preaching. And one of the men there knew me. He knew that I grew up in a Christian family. He knew that I was to a Baptist seminary. I was thrown out. And he said, brothers, I found a solution. We have here a man that is like, his mother is a Jew and his father is a Gentile. So he is good for you, Baptist, and he is good for us, Christian after the gospel. And I didn't know he will name me. And he said, his name is Philip. He is the son of Brother Dinka. When I heard, what shall I do now? There was 500, 600 people there outside in the snow. And I didn't even know the name of the man that was on the casket. Over there, it's open. So he called me there and said, come and preach. I took the Bible with me and I went there to preach. And I said, before I open the Bible, I want to see the man. And I went, I saw the man. And I realized that was none other than the countryman who preached when I came to the Lord and I was not aware of that. I looked at him and like a fear came to my heart. At that moment, somehow, I remembered every single word that he said when he preached. I told them, I don't know you. I didn't know until now who is the man, but I know. I know now. He is the man that brought me to the feet of Christ. And he put me down with all my knowledge, with his logic, he put me down. And what I will tell you now, it is not a sermon that I have. I will tell you his sermon when I was converted. I remember that. And in this sermon, there's not a single word from me. Somehow the Lord gave me every single thing that he said. And I told them. And everything was smooth, quiet, nice, except the snow and the wind. And there it was a lot of people. And at the end, I looked around and I said, now he was preaching to you for so many years here. I just want to ask you one thing. If you ever want to see him again, you got only one chance. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Accepting him, you will see him in glory. Rejecting him, you will end in hell. And you will be there also forever. And at the casket, there were six persons, three boys and three girls. They were his children. And none of them were saved. At that day, they all came to Christ. And one of them prayed and said, Lord, we didn't give this joy to our father as long as he lived. But we come to you now. We are sinners. Forgive us. And from there on, as far as I know, even today, they are Christians. Three of them were doctors, and three of them were lawyers. And they threw everything out for the sake of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are good workers with the gospel in the country. We serve a great God. And for who he is, for what he has done for us, we have to keep in mind one thing. Our salvation is important to us. The forgiveness of sin, it is important. The hope of being in heaven, raptured one day, it's good. But the most important thing through our salvation, it is the glory of God. It was initiated by God. It was carried out by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we never have to forget that. The most important thing is that here, through my life, through the way that I live, that I think, that I behave, that I act, I am called to glorify the name of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That it is our call. And when we will enjoy in the hope of the glory of God, the people will come and we will fill the places where we worship him. And someday I believe and I pray that this place will be totally full, right here and up there, and the people outside too. We serve a great God. There are many things that I can tell you. It's enough. And I believe that by now you all realize that I have an accent. So you have to pay attention to how I speak. One thing it is very sure for me. I love the Lord because he loved me first. And my only desire, it is to please him, to praise, to exalt, and to glorify his holy and blessed, blessed name. With that, I want to go a little bit with you into the Word of God, like a Sunday school. Is that okay?
Sure. Can you just tell that one story about the smuggling of Bibles? Can you just tell that one, please?
Over there, you don't have Bible like here. It's very hard. And we received Bibles from Germany. They came with a ship on the Dunai River, and somebody must go to take them out and bring them in the country. Usually, we do that only in the night for the police. And one time, we went to the harbor. I had a car. We drove there. It was, again, like winter. I got one guy with me. We took off the seat from the back and the trunk and everything else. And we filled up the car with the Bibles. We have to rush to come back before the day break in our place. And it was about maybe 120 miles away. But it's hard to go. The roads there are not like here. So on the road, the snow intensified, and we were going slow, and we have to go through the capital of the country, Bucharest. And we went through, but the day was in. At the exit of the capital, there the police stopped us. When I saw that they stopped, I said, oh, we are done, we go to jail. You go there at least 5 years if they find you with the Bibles. We go to jails. The guy near me, it was a guy that used to go to worship God on the Seventh-day Adventist. I took him with me because he was driver too. And I said, we are two people that drives. They stopped us. The police came there. And he just went out from the car. He went out, go to the police officer, and he said, I know why do you stop me. And he said, why? Our lights are not wiped out. And the snow, it's a... And he said, yeah, and you make traffic now. Get out now. Wipe the blood. And I said, praise God. Everything is fine. So he wiped that out, and he came to me, and he opened the door again. And he said, hold on a little bit. He went to the police officers. And he said, officer, We have Bibles. Do you want a Bible? I looked at him. I thought I would die. I was afraid of a heart attack. We had about 300 Bibles in the car. For that, you will go easy 15 years in jail. And the police officer, you know what he said? I have the Bible from my mom. Do you think I don't read the Bible? I have it. Just get out of here. He came inside and I said, are you crazy? Did you have your visit to the doctor? And said, I don't know. It was in my heart to talk with him and to tell him. And we went. We left. We went home. It was day when we arrived home. My wife saw me through the window. She went to the bed and she fell asleep. At that time, we were building a house for us to live. They threw me out from the apartment in which I live. All apartments in the city, they were the property of the government. They give you the apartment and they take you out. They threw me out, so we have to do something. And the neighbors knew I were looking for some tiles. And at that point, they came out and they said, tiles, let's help you, tiles. The Bible comes in boxes. And I said, maybe this is from God too. Because we had in front of the house where we lived, 24 hours, two police officers. They wanted to see who comes in and goes out. And when I saw them, I said, Lord, only you sent these guys here, because they were talking the tiles. They came, they saw the box from the street, and they left again to their place, right in front of the house. We took all the Bibles. We put them in the attic of the house. And then they left. Everything was fine. And I went to bed. I slept. 2-3 hours later, my brother came with a car. He was coming to the city to take bread, because where he lives in the countryside, there was no bread. And I told him, can you go home with some Bibles? And he said, yeah, sure. So we filled up his car with a Bible. And he went with them, and then he came back. There were a few more. He took them more, and he left back. I kept only two Bibles in the house. Later on, the police came, and he said, sir, we want to come into your house. And I said, what do you want to see in my house? We want to see if you have Bibles. And I said, I have. I have my Bible and my wife's Bible. Two Bibles. And they said, we were informed that you got Bibles. And I said, well, you came late. You had. I had. How many? I don't know. Many. Where are they? I look at them and I said, it will be an insult for me to your job to tell you where are they. You are a police officer, so you have to find out where they are. I cannot tell you. And then he said, you don't let us in the house. I won't let you in the house. Go and bring a paper that you are allowed to do that, and you will do it. So they left. I said, Lord, thank you. You took us out from that too. They couldn't do anything to us. And I'm telling you, the God that we serve, he is taking care of all of our problems. All of our problems. We went through so many things, and the most important thing it is that we are here, and we are waiting for the great event that it will take place. By God's grace, we might be that generation that is going to meet the Lord through the rapture. One day the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall come up to life, we shall be translated, we shall meet together with them, the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. And from there, 7 years later, we will come back with him. And the rest of the things will take place on the face of the earth. This is it for now. There are so many things. Do you know something? I think I already told you too much about myself. I want to read a few verses for you from the book of Romans chapter 1, because at the service I also want to read from the book of Romans from chapter 5. And we have to clear up something here in chapter 1. And I will read the first 7 verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophet into the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received the grace and the apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we'll stop here for now. We will just go quick over these verses, and we want to know a little bit more about this book. To me, it is one of the most important books in the Bible. The whole Bible is the Word of God. It is inspired by God. It is profitable, and it is good for us. But there are, you know, books and books. The New Testament that we have, it was hidden for a long time into the scriptures of the Old Testament. And there were things in the Old Testament that even the Jewish people who received it did not fully understood. And then the Lord raised 12 apostles. We will come to that. And through them, he gave us the scriptures of the New Testament. So the things that were hidden in the Old Testament, they are revealed into us in the New Testament. And the most important things among the books of the New Testament, we have a full revelation of God's purpose. We have in the book of Romans, Ephesians, and so on. But if we understand Romans and Ephesians, then we can go easier through the whole Bible. The thing it is that none of us, it is saved by understanding. It is good to understand. You become established, strong in faith. We are not saved by understanding the scripture. We are saved by believing the scripture. By believing that Jesus Christ, it is the Son of God that came into the world, live among us, like us, but without sin. And at the due time, he took our sin upon himself. He went to the cross, and on the cross of Calvary, he paid the price for our redemption. And these things were not known fully or understood fully into the scriptures of the Old Testament. They were there, but the people didn't saw them. So at a certain point, after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God called one more man. Jesus Christ called one more man. His name was Paul. He was a Pharisee, very zealous for the law of Moses, very bright man. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel in Jerusalem. He was from the Tarsus of Cilicia. And to study at the feet of Gamaliel at that time, it was the Ivy League or the area. There were three great cities in the world known at that time. So one of the center that was very cultural, it was Tarsus of Cilicia and, of course, Jerusalem. The other two was Athens in Greece and Alexandria in Egypt. Paul was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew better than many others the law of Moses and the scriptures of the Old Testament. And you know his story. You know that he was a man that persecuted the church. He was the one that gave his assent to the death of Stephen. And yet, after that, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto him. Judas betrayed the Lord, and he hanged himself. He died. And in the book of Acts, Peter said that we have to replace him, and they did. And everything went smooth for a while. But one day, Paul the Apostle was going to arrest the people that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got letters from the Sanhedrin. And on the road to Damascus, he was met by the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't know him. Very powerful light came around him. He fell on his knees, and a voice spoke to him. And then he raised his head up, and he saw in that great light a figure, a face. And after the Lord told him why he appeared unto him, he said, "But who are you? Who are you?" That means he saw something. And the Lord answered, "I am Jesus. I am the one that you are persecuting." He said, "I don't persecute you. I persecute believers." No, you are persecuting me. Jesus Christ, it is identifying himself with all of those that trust in him, that believe in him. And that it was with Paul. From that day on, he became another man. And look at what he says here. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, he was the most brilliant mind of the time there. And even today, the people that are not Christians, they said that if you had not been Christian, he would have been the most enlightened mind in the world. God called him. And God prepared him for a task that it was entrusted to him later on. And then he is saying, I am the servant of Jesus Christ. This servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. What that means? Servant, it means slave. I am the slave of Jesus Christ. And in other words, I am not a free man. We live in America. I left Romania to come here for freedom. And it looks like it's going away. But we pray and we will continue. Now, being the servant, being the slave, he was not free. He was now under the control of God, of Jesus Christ, of the one that he was persecuting. And this is what he said. I am the servant of Jesus Christ, and I am called. I am called to be an apostle. What is the meaning of apostle? What it means to be an apostle? It's something simple, and we all heard that, which is true. It says, the sent one. The one to be sented. But in Greek language, in the original, is not only that meaning of being an apostle. It means that an apostle, it was the one who was called to be sent, and into him it was entrusted a delegated power. That means sent to represent someone. And this is what Paul is saying here. I am the servant of Jesus Christ and an apostle. I am the one and to whom it was entrusted something, a special message. And he said, being that, I want you to realize that I am not only the one with a delegated authority. I am separated, set aside. I have a responsibility. What I was separated to, it was not mine. I did not learn it from other people. It was entrusted into me by God. What it was entrusted into him? The gospel of God. And I want you to underline very well in your mind the gospel of God. You read some other definitions of the gospels. You read about the gospel of the kingdom. You read about the gospel of grace. But the one who gave the gospel, the one who initiated every single thing that is in the gospel, it is none other than God the Father. It says here, I am separated into the gospel of God. Just think about it. Paul was not a Christian with the other apostles. He was called to be an apostle. He was separated and sent into the gospel of God. He got a message from God. That gospel, it was promised into the scriptures of the Old Testament. It became reality into the scriptures of the New Testament. And look at what he's saying in the third verse here. The gospel of God, it is concerning with one thing only. And today the people complicate that gospel. The gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Blessed be his name. The true gospel, It is the gospel where you find nothing else but Jesus and Jesus Christ. Jesus, the human man, Jesus of Nazareth, from the seed of David, regarding the flesh. And Christ, the anointed one, the one that was sent by God. And this is what Paul is saying. I was called to be an apostle. I have a delegated power. I have an authority because I am transmitting, proclaiming the gospel of God, which it is concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The true gospel. It is the gospel of God concerning the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That means he was a human. Jesus Christ was a true man, but it doesn't stop there. It was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power. As the seed of man, he was born. He got a beginning. As a man, the Lord Jesus Christ got a beginning. He was born by the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, from God himself. But when it talks about him being the Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, it says here, the gospel of God, it is concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord, which according to the flesh, it is the seed of David, but declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of Holiness. We have a full doctrine of the incarnation here of the Lord Jesus Christ being the seed of David according to the flesh. We have a full revelation of the deity of Christ. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of Holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The whole Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are involved here. All the doctrines about them are involved here. In these three verses, it's a gold mine. It's something that when we begin to understand, we want to live and to die for it. Our salvation, the forgiveness of our sin, is very important to us. But the forgiveness of the sin, it is only the first step in our relationship with God. There is much more. We were adopted into the family of God. We were blessed with a great and wonderful destiny. But above all, why God did all these things? For his own glory. Our salvation is first and most important, foremost, for the glory of God. When we begin to see these beauties of the gospel, I am telling you, we are another people. We are suffering, and through suffering, we are enjoying and praising the Lord. We are having problems, and through those problems, we enjoy in the hope of the glory of God. If you go in the first chapter of Ephesians, you will see there that every single thing that it was done, it says for the glory of God, for his glory. We live in this place for the glory of God. Amen. This is what the Bible it is saying. And this is what the Apostle Paul it is saying here. That being the case, he was called and he was made an apostle. One with delegated power to praise, to exalt, and to glorify the name of God. But among the people there were some who did not believe that he is an apostle. He was not a part of Jesus' disciples. And he was not a part of the 12. It is one thing to be a disciple, and it is another thing to be an apostle. We read in the book of Matthew and we read in the book of Luke how the Lord did that. The book of Luke chapter 6. There were a group of disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ said he called them into himself and from them he chose 12 apostles. The rest remained disciples. They are needed. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, chose 12 apostles. and gave them power and ordained them for a certain responsibilities to preach the gospel of God. They were the one that represented the Lord Jesus Christ. Their word got weight. In farther on in the New Testament, you will see that there is no more apostles. The apostles were called by God, were set aside through the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ for a certain task. And once they died, they disappeared from the scene. Today in the church, the Lord Jesus Christ gave some pastors, teachers, prophets for building up, for establishing the church, but no more apostles. They are only those that were called by the Lord Jesus Christ. And once they passed the scene, they are no more apostles. They were for life. Once they left the scene, there are no more apostles. So that means they have no longer delegated power to speak, to teach in the name of Christ. God gave the pastors, the teachers, the prophets, and later on, when the church was formed, there it was a group of people that helped the pastors. We call them today deacons and elders. And this is how the church is built up today. The foundation, it was laid by the apostles. There is no other foundation, it's only one. And we are continuing to build up the church. You have a nice building here, but this is only the building. This is not the church. Where is the church? That's you, the people that comes in. You are the body of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. It is for you that Christ is coming again to take us to be with him and like him forever. We have a great hope. We are serving a great God. We have a great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That being the case, my time is over. We will stop here for now. We want you to know that God called Saul of Tarsus, named him Paul, that he may be an apostle. And he made it that very clear. I will read probably two more words, and with that we will give up. Galatians chapter 1. Look at what he's saying here. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him up. He was not taught, he was not named by a man. He was called and named by God and by his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why he is an apostle. And once he was called, did he run quick to Jerusalem? No. He went to Arabia, to the Mount of God, where God gave the law to Moses. And he spent it there 3 years. And he says here further on that he was not taught by men. He said, the gospel that I preached unto you, I was not taught by men, nor by Peter, nor by John, nor by anyone else. I was taught by God. It was God who gave him the message. It was God who gave him the gospel. It was God who called him, who separated him for the gospel of God. And the gospel of God is doing one thing and one thing only. It is concerned with the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless each and every one of you, strengthen you, and help you to realize that you are called. You are redeemed. How? By faith and by faith alone. Nothing else. We will stop here for now.
Amen.